After Dark. It was not 5 minutes between this and the previous recording.
No, it was not.
Yeah, Brad had to go, so it's a couple days later. We could have faked it.
Yeah, we could have. Yeah, but that's all right. That's all right. We're doing it in here. We're talking to you now. And yeah, that was just a little. You know, we got personal lives and families and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we do
that. Man,
right, for now.
For now.
Until the pod takes over entirely.
And we just become Howard Hughes-like megalomaniacs.
I will live in the pod. I will continue to subscribe to Art of Darkness. Thank you, patrons. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess this is the After Dark for the recap, and we walked through all of the episodes that we've done in the last season. What, Kevin, maybe this is an interesting question, and I'd like to try to avoid the superlative, but like, what is, for an episode that you were at the helm of, what was there any one that stuck out for you as a particularly, like, forget the show for a second, where you were just like, man, I'm really glad that I did that research? Is there anything that kind of jumped out at you?
Wow. Crowley. Because I had not read that great biography, the new one that we leaned on so heavily. And it's really a definitive, satisfying biography of Crowley. And I feel like I, for myself, brought him down to earth for me, which is good. And I'm glad that we kind of got him in because of his place in the culture.
Right.
Yeah. What about you?
I was actually, somebody said something on Twitter today and it made me go back and listen to our Yunga episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of realized, like, I'm actually, in subtle and not so subtle ways, I'm actually thinking differently after that research a little bit. Mm. Like, you know, I think in a marked way. So that was huge for me, doing that reading and doing that research and getting to understand him and his historical place. And this is relationship to what's happening to us in the modern era. I kind of think he nailed it in a way that for me, nobody else had nailed it. And so, yeah, that's one that I've been kind of living with since we did. And, you know, I almost tweeted today about it. Actually, I was like, you know, retirement for me is just going to be reading my way through the Yunga oeuvre, just on a porch with a dog and a cigar, reading all the Yunga that I don't have time for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to read more of his later work.
It's definitely worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to do Hesse.
It's going
to
be cool. That'll be a cool sort of yin yang for Yunga, I think. I think they would have saw eye to eye on a lot of stuff. But...
Rilke.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
The Germans, the German language writers, Thomas Mann. Just going to be, we're on an adventure with Art of Darkness.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And it's funny, we slate up the season three and I'm excited about everybody we're doing in season three, but you do start thinking like, oh yeah, we got to
right.
And
I'm getting ready to do an odd one in Victor Grün. And I think that's going to surprise people. The man who created the mall. But he was like a Jewish Austrian socialist type who had a vision of the mall as a kind of community center with some shopping, but more of a European style. The dentist might be there. Wouldn't that be nice? And then eventually it would all be connected by intermodal rail to this city. So it's a case of somebody who fundamentally misunderstood America.
Well, it's one of those things on paper. Yeah, that seems, if you've never seen it before, like that seems reasonable, right?
Right. I mean, his first fully realized vision, if I'm not mistaken, is over here in the Twin Cities over at Southdale. And the mall and the history of the American mall, I think, is going to open up some very serious. Is he the first architect we're going to have done?
Yeah, I don't think we've covered anybody who's been an architect. Yeah, the shopping mall is interesting, right? That's like, it makes me think about like the freeway system and subdivisions. Both of these things on paper, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. That's a sensible way to do things. And then right. You do it and you're like, oh no.
We've alienated everyone.
Right.
Yeah, right. So well, I mean, and then cool. you go to London and you go to like some of the first suburbs, which I think Chiswick qualifies as one.
Okay.
And I don't know the full history of that, but I spent some time over there and you kind of go, yeah, I could see how in like 1890, you could have your own little house out there.
Yeah. Like a mini estate.
It was like, I think one of the first kind of rail lines, like almost like a commuter rail line right into London. So you could be a banker or go work in the city. And yeah, then you go back and you're kind of quasi in the country. You got Kew Gardens over there. And of course, now it's just been completely consumed, inside of it. But it's going to be an interesting thing to discuss. And malls in Minnesota, man. It's the third mall from the sun. So
yes.
That's good. Bill Hicks.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. He said he was talking about Reagan and going, by the time he's done, this country is going to be the third mall from the sun, man. Yeah. Reagan or
Gen
not,
X. Yeah, that's a very Gen X.
Very Gen X. Yeah, kind of
attitude.
But which, hey, man, I mean, you know what's wild is like, Bill Hicks, he'd probably yearn for the malls of yesterday now, seeing what the malls have become. You have a nice arcade.
Yeah.
You have a food court, you know.
There's stuff to do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. fun. Yeah, Yonge was a good one. And of course, you've got Mishima queued up for next year.
It's coming later in the year. Yeah.
Anais Nin. Okay, so let's play this game.
Okay.
Of the ones that I did last year, was there a standout for you in terms of wow, I learned? Or
let me quick look at the
I'll lead because I was over it. I'll lead and say Anais Nin just totally surprised me and rocked me, and it's just such a good example. And of course Geo is a hoot.
Yes.
You know, we're trying to move away somewhat from having guests on the core episodes, not because the guests aren't great, the guests are great, but because it's a lot to ask a guest to come on for 3-4 hours. It's a lot. It's a big commit.
Yeah.
And the core of the show is you and me doing the core episodes. And then we have the dark rooms for people.
It's a big ask for people to come on. We're gonna have some guests on the regular show, the core episodes, particularly some people who've gone on that ride with us before, and kind of know what's up. And I have, you know, and they've all been great, but there's Aldous Asterion's coming on for Borges, and I know he's excited about that because he and I have been talking about it already. But yeah, there is a bit like I've done these, and then you sort of start sharing my process with people, and sort of through the chat, you can get the sense that they're going, oh boy, this is a lot.
And you kind of want to tell them to calm down. It's okay. You can just color commentary. But then that's what the dark rooms are for too.
Right.
So
it all works out.
We'll figure it out as we go. Yeah.
I think the big episode for me that you were at the head of this last season was the Bolaño episode. I had read 266. How many sixes are there? 2666. I had read Savage Detectives and quite liked them, but just never done any of the research. Did not understand the historical context whatsoever and didn't know anything about him or any of his other books. And so I kind of walked into that thinking, yeah, this is a writer that I like to like, oh, this is one of the most significant writers of the, you know, whatever tail end of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century, whatever, you know,
massive.
And really, really appreciating that historical perspective.
The anecdote from that one, can you guess what I'm going to say?
Well, the thing that I think about all the time is the fact that he decided he was going to write novels to make a living.
Oh, honey, you got to give up that poetry and write novels.
Right. Oh, my God.
To pay the bills. Yeah, what a hoot.
Yeah.
And his novels are extraordinary.
Oh, they are. But they're also not commercial. right?
Right.
So,
right.
So, you know, like if you want to, you could maybe make money writing fiction if you were like, I'm going to write some airport thrillers, or I'm just going to capitalize on whatever
true,
the trend is
true.
Now, right? You could maybe, and you're talented.
The Savage Detectives has the quality of auto fiction and kind of a saucy tell-all, you know?
Right.
So there's a bit of it, but yeah, these novels where, a priest releases a hawk to destroy all of these birds as a metaphor for fascism and the war and everything.
Yeah.
That's going to sell. That's a page turner.
No, dude, you just make it he's a Navy SEAL and he's like falsely accused of something, but he's, that episode.
He's estranged from his daughter, but she's secretly a double agent now.
I always wondered as a fiction writer, it's really easy to sit back from those things and be like, oh, that stuff's easy, I could do that stuff. But there's also like, well, I never actually tried. Like, could I actually do that or not? Like, I can write the sentences, sure, and I can write the paragraphs, but could I actually write a pot boiler that, boil the pot?
There's a level where those achieve as greatness as almost anything great in literature. You have Le Carre.
Yeah, I was just going to say Le Carre is as good as anything, right?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, and even Lovecraft with his kind of two penny, 2 cent stories, weird tales now are considered,
Well, we're going to see in this next our first core episode of season 3, Joseph Conrad, you squint your eyes at them a certain way. And those are just, those are adventure novels, right?
Sure.
They're a little more sophisticated once you kind of scratch the surface, but could Heart of Darkness be in a pulp magazine? It could have been. Yeah. There you go.
Got my copy right here. We're ready to go. Get your copy ready. Patreon, Heart of Darkness. The book club URL is artofdarkpod.com/book-club.
Yeah, got it.
You can't miss it. Just go to the website and there's a link in the menu and then on the side as well. Yeah. Or on the bottom if you're on mobile. I also have my signed copy of The Cranker. I got Nut Cranker right here.
That somewhere too.
Ready to rock.
I don't know if this is my sign, but I have it. I have it right here. Yeah. Mm. We're good to go. We're good to go. Cranking those nuts.
Chapter 1, From the Teat of Old Foucault. And then chapter 2, Nora's Tudor Home. And Gio wrote the foreword. So we got our own little.
You know what? I have to admit, I have not read the foreword because I read it when I had read it in whatever arc or galley or whatever you call it. So I have actually not read that intro yet. I'm going to have to check that
out. Yeah, I need to read it. I just got it in the mail today. It's snowy out here in Minnesota right now. And I looked outside and the mailbox was steaming.
Right.
There was steam coming off the mailbox. I don't know what power Nutcracker has.
Yeah, there's some good marketing opportunities. Something neither rain nor snow nor sleet or whatever the postman say. We'll bring your Nutcracker to your door. Yeah.
We're all nut buddies now. Lots of fun. Can't wait to read that. And of course, we're going to have Dan come on and be a little Q&A and everything and a lot of fun.
That'll be
are both going to write reviews in journals. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You're writing it for Apocon, right?
That has not been confirmed, but that's the plan.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the plan.
I just had a piece in Apocalypse Confidential, a little piece of fiction for you Patreon folks. It's a Christmas special, but I don't think it needs to be Christmas for you to read it and enjoy it. It's a fun little piece that I did.
You can watch Eyes Wide Shut 365.
Cool.
That's that Apocalypse Confidential. What's the, do you remember the URL?
Oh, no, I
find
don't.
It. I'm writing my
apocalypse-confidential.com.
Easy. Apocalypse-confidential.com. I'm writing my Nutcracker review for the Rye Egg Journal.
So we're
going hard.
Excellent.
I guess I got to slunk some eggs before I write
a couple eggs before you write it. I think that's the requirement.
And do some lifts and whatever else. needs to happen. So that's fun.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Go to a big prestigious grad program, languish in obscurity for years.
And you post
a little bit, and you too can be obscure niche internet personalities. Well, we're getting ready tonight to have on what remind me the fellow's name again?
Sam Buntz.
Sam Buntz, B-U-N-T-Z, and we're going to talk about Gurdjieff tonight.
Correct. Yeah, and I mean, he and I have had some correspondence really over the last year. He's a writer, and I had read his novel, which we'll talk about there. But at some point, it just sort of he reached out to me about something, not even the show, and I was like, hey man, you want to come out and talk Gurdjieff? Gurdjieff is his avi on Twitter. And he's always posting very, very sophisticated, very, very smart things that I have to kind of he posts things where you go, that's probably right, but I don't totally understand it. Right. So looking forward to that conversation. And when I mentioned Gurdjieff, he was like, yes, let's talk Gurdjieff.
Yeah. So. Gurdjieff is one of those guys where if you find the right person, they just light up and it's like you've made like a friend for life for you, at least a conversational acquaintance. People want to talk about Gurdjieff and those ideas. It opens up the rabbit hole,
yeah,
as it were. And I have some good stuff for the After Dark for that. Cool. And I've got a few links up. I went poking around my basement where we have our bookshelves. I want a bigger house with a proper library, like the Big Lebowski, the Lebowski in the wheelchair. That's what I dream of one day. Sure. And I can just play Mozart's Requiem and the Requiem Mass, and and I can is it a Mass, the Requiem Mass, and then I
think so,
and we can listen to Kraftwerk
and
Nagelbett on repeat in my library. Anyway, I was poking around and I could not find my Gurdjieff tomes. And I'm like, how did I do that episode? I feel like I had some of the books. Did I do it all online? I used to have some serious Gurdjieff stuff. Okay. I think it was called Ladies of the Rope, which was about Gurdjieff had a women's group, I think, that met in Paris.
Catherine Mansfield was part of, I believe, right?
I think so. Yeah, I had. And my favorite Gurdjieff, because there are two types of Gurdjieff literature. There's the literature that Gurdjieff wrote, and you can kind of couple that with the writing about his work, like Ouspensky's stuff that tries to present it in a different way. Maybe you would say there are three kinds. It's Gurdjieff's writing himself. The second layer would be the writing about Gurdjieff's work. And then the third layer is this biographical writing by people who just knew him. And it really is the finest introduction to Gurdjieff that I can think of from that other side comes from Tomas and Olga de Hartman, Our Life with Mr. Gurdjieff. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit on the episode.
Okay.
Because he helped them escape from the Soviets, from the revolution.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit when we had James Ellis on. Yeah, that was a fascinating story. It's very dun 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 dun.
It really is. Yeah. They finally make their way to France, and quite an adventure. And you can listen to the music that Tomas de Hartman composed with Gurdjieff, or sort of worked with Gurdjieff to create. You can go find that anytime on Spotify, which is the greatest word for a middle American to pronounce with a fake British accent. We're on Spotify too.
Spotify.
Yeah, you can do all sorts of things.
The other one that's good is Bottle of Water. Bottle of Water. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one.
Great. Yeah, you can tell this is an end of the year After Dark. We are.
Yeah, this might not be the most erudite recording, Art of Darkness recording of all time, but for folks who are listening, it's cool to hang out with you.
We appreciate it. Been great. This Patreon's grown. It's really great. We want to keep growing it. The goal is 333, half a Crowley this year. And so you're part of that. We appreciate it. We are doing Art of Darkness live. We're going to give privilege to Patreon people who want to get tickets to that early. The logistics of all that aren't worked out yet, but the date is June 5th. The venue is Waldman Brewery in St. Paul, Minnesota. So if you can make your way to Minnesota, or if you're in the vicinity and you want they're free tickets. The only caveat is you got to spend at least $10 when you're there. You're going to want to, because Waldman is banging easy. It's like, you know, two beers or, you know, one dinner. It's outstanding. So start thinking about that. And, you know, we can even say, too, if you're listening now and you want to be sure you can get in, you can just email artofdarkpod@gmail.com. And that email is also a general purpose email. So if there's, you ever want to get in touch, we see that. We're also the Telegram. If you're not in the Telegram, you're missing out. T.me/artofdarkpod. I understand it's not for everybody. I know people who just, like, at this point, you say a new app, they just, their face glazes. They look like you've just, you know, run over their pet.
Telegram is the last one, though.
Right. Right. No more. The way that your novel will end the great American novel.
That's the plan. Yeah, you can get in the Telegram. There's all kinds of fun stuff going on. Today, if you were in there, you could hear me ranting and raving about artificial intelligence. Kevin's dropping music that he was listening to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's not just Kevin and I saying stuff. I mean, I'm putting a lot of Heart of Darkness stuff in there. It also lives at Patreon, just kind of book posting as we go. As we approach the actual Heart of Darkness hang, but yeah, I mean, it's open source. It's very democratic in there. Everybody's talking, saying whatever they want. And sometimes conversation is quite good and fun. So, you have to definitely get in there.
Yeah. I mean, one of our friends in there right now just asked, what will be first, House of Sleep or Nutcracker? And Nutcracker is first on the schedule. I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Nutcracker is Mar. I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to answer him right now.
Look at this Telegram in action.
Oh, it's happening. It's all happening. Yeah. Yeah. Nutcracker and then House of Sleep is in August. So you've got time. Yeah. Going to be sweet.
It's going to be
very, very fun. Yeah. I think we almost have 90 people in there right now, which is really cool.
Right.
And we are going to start attempting to.
I'm going to give a little Patreon supporters secret.
Do it.
I know we're not doing House of Sleep for a while, but January 10th is the second anniversary of House of Sleep's release. I am going to put out the Kindle is going to be free. The Kindle version is going to be free for 3 days. So even if you don't plan to read it until we get there, it might be a good time to slip in and get that thing on your Kindle. And a lot of people don't know you can get a Kindle app on your phone. You don't need to have a Kindle. I used to read a lot of books during a certain day job that I had where I would stand there with my phone with a very serious look on my face and just read great works of literature. So
that was when you were guarding the senator.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right. Well, rest in peace, sir. Yeah.
It was worth it. You died for a good cause. So
we're worth it. Jeez. This is Art of Darkness. I'm Kevin Kautzman. This is Brad Kelly. Brad, again, thank you for a good year. We can finally put the nail in the coffin of 2022. We can move on to 2023. Lots of good stuff coming. Book club, live show. The live show will be recorded, of course. We're going to do our best to get the best audio we can. And that's also going to feature a performance of an adaptation of a Fitzgerald short story. We're going to do Fitzgerald Part 1. For the live show.
Right.
So it's going to be 75 to 90 minutes and we'll take a little break, do the performance with my theater company and then do a Q&A. We'll record everything. Yeah. The best we can. I'm pretty sure we can get decent audio. There might be a little bit of ambient noise, like clinking plates and stuff, but I think that'll add to the flavor.
Yeah. I mean, it's a live show. That's a little bit of that is. Then it'll be some different. It's going to be interesting. I think we'll be able to pull it off. I think it's going to be great, but I'm hoping in a way that it's a unique Art of Darkness episode. Sounds a little different, feels a little different. We're trying to do new things, trying to do cool things, but never straying too far from the core of the show. So.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Let us never stray.
Right.
from what got us this far, because boy, making a podcast that anybody really wants to listen to is not easy.
It's not. It's a lot of work. And especially
when you have personalities like ours.
That's right. Kevin and I are probably by the end of season 3, we're going to have to go on some kind of team building retreat or something together, you know, one of these things.
Fall into my arms, Brad. I've been here. I've been,
and Kevin's just on Twitter.
I'm reading House of Sleep. All right. I'll see you on the episode, Brad.
Okay.
All right. Thanks again, everybody.
Yes. Thank you, people.